to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollar.
Welcome back, friends. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and this is the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We were just exploring some basic courtroom procedure, and one of the questions that people have is, should I be surrendering the birth certificate as a defendant? And what I'm reading here is an excerpt from a foreign advisory that we review at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, which is part of the presentment strategy that would accompany a bonded promissory note on its way to the fiduciaries. The notary would present this foreign advisory, and within it, one would have a choice. I've written two different strategies for using the birth certificate to your advantage. One is the first paragraph that I read before the break, which basically says that there's an affidavit of negative averment accompanying this foreign advisory, which gives you the opportunity, Mr. Fiduciary, to disprove the assumption that the defendant is a U.S. creation and its only relationship to me is by misnomer, by misnaming of the creation and assuming that it's me. And if they would like to present, if they would like it to appear at the proceedings, they certainly can go ahead and present it by securing a copy from the state archives. Now, the second alternative is a surrendering of the birth certificate, and the paragraph in the foreign advisory reads like this. The title says, Surrender of Defendant Pursuant to Arrest of the Vessel in Admiralty. As a courtesy, please find the defendant debtor annexed hereto to facilitate settlement. The certificate of live birth has been noted, accepted for value pursuant to my private offset account number, whatever it happens to be. So that's it in a nutshell. The point is, if one presents the birth certificate as a surrender of the defendant, then one should be prepared to exploit that fact within the courtroom itself. David, I hope this is a lot more of an answer to your question.
Oh, yes. This has really helped.
But I hope it sheds some light on the fact that you have to really read what's put in front of you very carefully. Victoria Joy used to say she specializes in reading the white on the page, and that she's absolutely correct. The last paragraph of the document is where you want to look. What isn't being said is very important, and the implications of what is being said is more important than what's actually being said. So when they say they will be happy to produce a certified copy of any of the archives, that's a lot different than producing a certified charge.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for calling, David. Have a nice evening.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Now, friends, as long as we were talking about the birth certificate, before we bring our next caller in, let me just see if I can think up a scenario whereby we might apply that. Let's say, for instance, that you are the subject, well, let's put it into framework with me. Let's say I'm the subject of an order to hire an attorney in a case. Isn't that a typical one? Or an order for a psych evaluation. Those are probably the two most common ones that I hear all the time. Well, I might turn around and answer that in the following manner. I might say, has the court not received notice that it's the fiduciary on the account? Or I might say, is the court not in possession of notice? Or has the court not been noticed that it's the fiduciary on the account? And has the court not seen fit to appoint an attorney to represent the defendant? So I've taken the question that was asked of me, and I've turned it into a strategic advantage by putting proof of claim on them. That same strategy can be applied to the birth certificate, and we will do that right after the three-minute break that's coming up, and then we'll be together for about 17, 18 minutes without interruption. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. Welcome back, friends. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tonight, we're reviewing basic courtroom strategy, and we're focusing in right now on how to turn questions back into questions, how not to answer and how not to testify, and certainly how not to argue. The birth certificate, if you understand what the birth certificate is, then you already understand how to apply it. The birth certificate is the warehouse certificate that is proof of the account, the same as if you went to a pawnbroker and took back a ticket. It's proof of the pledge. It's proof that an adhesion contract exists, that an application was provided, and that you are four square in commerce by virtue of the fact that such a document has been issued and it's in your possession. Once you accept it for value, however, and turn it in, redeem it, so to speak, you are now saying, I'm in control of the title. I'm the creditor to the action. I'm providing this in as a bond, as a sign that my word is my bond, that I'm bringing my full commercial weight to bear in satisfying all obligations. So, and in that capacity, it also becomes the defendant, because the court does not have any capacity whatsoever to be able to indict a living man except by way of reference, by way of suretyship. And so it can only indict the account, the straw man account, so to speak. And when it does that, and you bring in a document such as a certified copy of the birth certificate accepted for value, the Social Security card accepted for value, a UCC-1, perhaps a UCC-11, showing that you're first in line and perhaps the only secured party to the account, there really isn't a heck of a lot more to talk about. And you can simply present them, again, with the question, has the court not received notice of surrender of the defendant and the court's fiduciary capacity on the account, or has the court not received notice of full payment and satisfaction of all claims on the account, and is it not prepared to post the credit and to accept the liability of failure to ledger the books? There's a million ways you can turn it around into a question depending upon where you are in the process and what your aim and goal are. It will often appear as if they are focused on the subject matter of the situation, failure to produce books and records, failure to provide the location of the repossessed item, or any of the other distractions. But the minute you bring commerce in, more often than not, you'll find just how quickly the situation turns around, so that, except in the most persistent cases, so that if you provide payment, suddenly the whole courtroom is diverted to the question of the payment, as opposed to the question of the books and records or the underlying subject matter. And at that point, you can expect to be hearing things like, this instrument is bogus, judge, this thing's no good, judge, we return that item, which, by the way, is a confession of payment. And my response to such a thing would be very much dependent upon what I had placed into play thus far. If I already had the other party's stipulation to the value of the instrument and their status as the successor surety by having accepted the instrument and failed to tender the payment on the books, then I would be emphasizing their default to the judge. By the way, the judge might be the defaulting party, and I would be emphasizing it to him or to his successor. And I would also be inquiring, let's say it's a prosecutor, why the judge is letting someone speak who has already confessed liability. Why is that party being given a forum? We're not here to reopen old wounds. But I wouldn't argue it. But I might say, judge, I think you need to read Mr. Jones his Miranda rights. Did I just hear him confess to a theft of funds from the maritime jurisdiction? And see what happens from that point on. If you say that in a non-hostile manner, you're going to get everyone's attention. Judge, has the court not already certified that Mr. Jones has stipulated to settlement of all accounts? Because let's face it, folks, if you have a notary certificate with an attached Schedule D stipulated default confessions, facts, and stipulations, or default confessions, facts, admissions, and stipulations, I think is the way we've titled that schedule, and that's also part of the Stage 1, Option 3, a broad comprehensive administrative process for presenting the fiduciary instruments, the payment instruments, we might say, judge, has the court not already certified that Mr. Jones has stipulated the settlement of all accounts? Because that is one of the stipulations that's stapled right to the notary certificate. Judge, why are you letting him speak? Why are you letting a party who's in dishonor, who has confessed to default, speak at this forum? Are you trying to join our contract? Would you like me to give you an application to become a co-claimant? By the way, I think I need to give you first notice that the co-claimant fee has been previously established by the principals at $50 million per event of impairment or stultification. If you want to join us, Judge, that's the freight, and I'm very good at collecting. You might say, is the court not in possession of a notice of counterclaim? And has the court not seen fit to inquire of plaintiff's attorney as to the location of $5 million of public funds last seen in his possession? Now you're really starting to get into the meat of BIC. So if if some interloper opens his mouth and says, oh, that's a bogus instrument, I'm not even going to address. Certainly, I could say, Judge, would you ask Mr. Jones to step down and take the stand so I can cross-examine him under oath and penalty of perjury as to whether he has first-hand knowledge of that to which he testified, whether he brought a certificate of non-performance or a certificate of protest or a notice of dishonor, or was he just making it up, or did I just hear him confess to stealing the funds? Imagine the kind of pressure you can bring to bear if you truly understand who you are as a creditor and what has really gone down. Just like that fellow David who called, if you look a little more closely and you gain a little more experience and you see that they're not certifying the statute, they're certifying a copy, you might be able to see the same things now unfolding before your eyes as clear as day. Holy mackerel, that guy just confessed. He literally just confessed to absconding with public funds, and the funds happen to have the name of the Secretary of the Treasury right on them. Judge, why are you letting this guy speak? He's a confessed debtor. Isn't the court in possession of a certificate of non-performance or certificate of non-payment from a representative of the Secretary of State of the state of whatever, indicating his confession? Are you seeking to join him in that confession? The possibilities are endless, folks. The one thing is, you'll notice everything I just asked or contemplated is by way of interrogatory as opposed to a declaratory sentence. And that's probably the most critical point in succeeding in the courtroom. If you go in there and stomp your foot and say, I am a living, breathing Christian man, there's no problem in presenting yourself as that at the beginning, but if you try and stop their process by attempting to stand on jurisdiction, you'll be in argument, secret contempt, and there's a good chance the bailiffs are going to jump you. But if you simply ask them for proof that they are not liable on the instruments, you're in a much stronger position, and one that personally I could defend all day long. Tom from Arizona.
Yes.
Are you there?
I am here.
Hey, did I wake you up?
No, I'm sorry. I just I wanted to tell you first that my real name is not Tom, and the reason I did that is I just didn't want it quite out there yet.
You didn't have to confess that. That's fine. We're all equal here.
Okay.
You've been functioning under your non-real name your entire life anyway.
Okay. Yes, I have. That's right. I'm in a situation where I've got a C. The allegations are, I believe they're probably true. I have a sealed indictment.
Let me guess, a sealed indictment.
Yes, an arrest warrant. And my partner was already has hired a lawyer, and he's going that route. My situation is a little different. I've been doing this for about, I've been in the Patriot type of movement for probably about 10 years, studying a lot of your materials, Mr. Kennedy, and I've got my iPod just full of all of your broadcasts. I've been listening to them like crazy.
What a waste of good electronic media.
Yeah.
But you've got 10 years experience under your belt.
Well, studying, I'm totally, absolutely convinced, that commerce is the direction, the way to go.
Right.
Started out in the, more of the constitutionalist side of things.
Which, as you know, I was teaching and still do teach. It has a place, but it has a place, as far as I'm concerned, for enforcing contracts or in local court settings where you can use a lot of political influence.
Right. I believe that's absolutely...
Yeah, Jack and Margie have been tremendously successful with it at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that music means we're facing a break, so stick with us. I want to hear more about this and get right down to your questions.
Okay.
All right, folks... We're going to be exploring a sealed indictment. I can tell you we won't be able to unseal it, but as far as I know, Pens can write accepted for value on the outside of envelopes as well as inside. So please join me after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Tom from Arizona. Tom's not his real name, but we're not going to try and guess what it is. Tom has a sealed indictment. When was the indictment handed down?
Indictment was handed down, I believe, in late April, about 26th.
Where do you stand now? Where do you stand now in the case?
They have not found the defendant. Let's put it that way. They have my partner. I got a hold of the indictment itself, a copy of it, and of course where my name would be, it's all whited out. And the big argument is that I'm not a party to the case, and therefore, you know, going forward with the BIC process, I'm aware that we could do that, but the argument is, you know, is there technicalities there that can upset the apple cart if we, you know, serve
well,
this?
Are you saying that you're not named in the indictment at all?
Well, I can read you between the lines. My name has just been... Basically, we've had 8 articles written about us in the newspaper, 5 more headlines. I have a pretty high suspicion that I am but it's just where my name would be under his has been whited out because of the fact that it's sealed.
Who whited it out?
I guess that would be the judge or the prosecutors.
Well, normally on a sealed indictment, it's sealed to the public, but certainly the attorneys on the case have access to the full indictment, not redacted. His attorney should know immediately whether or not you're named on the document or not.
Well, his attorney said I was. So.
Well, then that seems pretty conclusive.
Right.
Although we have certainly known attorneys to make false statements in these sorts of situations. Yeah, so, well, this is probably something that you would want to talk to me about in private. Do you have a question on air that you'd feel comfortable asking?
Let's see. You know, we've gone about the process and, gotten me, I've got my lien file, the UC1 with the, all that. The dilemma was, should I go ahead and just, you know, walk into the sheriff's office and go through that without having the bonds and everything in place?
Well, that's a decision only you could make. See, that is a typical kind of question I get asked, but I would never tell someone what is right for their life and for their scenario. You face some big decisions. If I was in that situation, clearly I would understand that I'd be looking either at being a fugitive on the lam for the rest of my life or addressing this thing in some fashion, and the fashion that I would address it would be privately by BIC. I'm certainly of the opinion that, and there are people who have proven this, that things can be settled completely in the private without having to address anything in the public, leaving it entirely up to them. Now, that obviously doesn't always work. Sometimes it depends on the judge you get in the case and how badly and how political they want to go on it. So at some point, the living man might have to make an appearance to be able to correct the issues on the public side, but I like dealing with things privately. There's also a process called non-statutory abatement. It was popular for a while years ago. I like it under many circumstances. It's a very Christian process, but it's one in which you remain entirely outside the jurisdiction completely. We've seen it work in some very severe situations, even though they will try to pressure you, because it's clear that all process is being rejected for being defective within the higher court of the Lord. So that's something that you might consider. You can find, if you want more information on any of that, send me an email at takenoprisoners@hush.com.
Okay.
I may actually be running a non-statutory abatement course in the future, and if I do, it's going to be entirely free. I'm not going to charge a penny. And, in fact, I'm going to talk more about that. We're going to offer some particular subjects. I want to make information as available as I possibly can to as many people as I possibly can. So BIC is a different story because it's so comprehensive and takes so long. And I've got tens and tens of thousands of hours that I put into the development of technology and the like. But there are other specific targeted areas where I'd like to share, even on a bigger basis, free of charge, and non-statutory abatement is going to be one of them. But you might want to get yourself to the Law Merchant Leadership Conference.
Well, I do. I want to be there. I also have three.
All right. I won't ask you on the air, but you can you can send an email. It's probably best in your case to send it so we don't know who you are through a Hushmail account.
I got that.
And send it to Roberta@hush.com, and there'll be no privacy on your part for us to respect.
Okay.
In other words, we won't really need to know anything other than that you're worthy of coming to the conference, which I can tell you are. So you can just put the radio party in the Hushmail communication, and we'll know who it is.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Before the break, we were talking with Tom. I don't know if Tom is still on the line.
Still on the line.
Good. Well, just one point before you leave, Tom.
Sure.
People need to consider this. You're not the first person. Excuse me. Well, person is perfectly acceptable. The fact that the word has been co-opted to mean fictions also doesn't mean that it doesn't have a broader sense. But you're not the first party I've spoken to in the scenario that you describe. And I think it's important that people understand living men cannot be fugitives from justice for non-capital crimes. Only fictions can be fugitives from justice. And that's very easy to remedy with the surrender of a birth certificate under proper circumstances.
I have five of those.
But if one goes underground and functions in that capacity, then one has to ask, is one accepting the capacity of being a permanent surety for the debtor? In other words, is one now, from now on, functioning as a debtor instead of reestablishing oneself as a creditor? Granted, one needs to have complete confidence in their ability to function as a creditor to be able to reverse such a situation. So we're happy to educate and entertain living men at our conferences. I have no dealings whatsoever with legal fictions, and I'm not really concerned with the capacities of legal fictions. I am concerned with living men functioning as honorable creditors and satisfying all claims that may be presented against their collateral.
Well, Sam, I have three little girls at home that are kind of mad at me right now, so I need to get back there.
I have two little granddaughters, very young, and so I can really appreciate what you're saying. That's a very, very hard circumstance, and it's a tragedy. And if we can help you, just contact us. It would be great if in some living party capacity, you can attend the Law Merchant Conference and or find some other way of gaining the education before you make any decisions as to what's right for you.
Okay.
I'm glad you called. Thanks for sharing this with us.
Thank you.
Good night. Brad. Brad in Kentucky. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Sam?
I'm very well, Brad. How are you today?
Good.
What can I do for you?
Well, I'm in the process of doing a rescission, successor trustee, and the return of a device, you know, through the notary, and of course letting the...
You're under an electronic arrest?
Yes.
Okay.
And was, you know, incarcerated 10 months before that as they bounced me around the country. So needless to say, you know, my drafts are ready. Some things need to be, you know, dotted and crossed and then sent in. Of course, the concern is, you know, once the device goes back, obviously the policing agency can come and make an arrest. The defendant, you know, has a court-appointed an attorney, so the whole thing becomes a real, you know, quagmire. So as I attempt to look at this rescission and send the device back, you have to look at, well, what are they going to do as retaliation? And needless to say, after being away for some time, you know, that's not necessarily a fear, more for family members and that whole stress. And also that once you're arrested, there's nobody to do your paperwork. So you're, you know, they kind of have you by a short stick, so to speak. So just trying to, you know, analyze any pitfalls or errors in procedure, you know, to try and get it as correct as possible.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you called in. Thank you for sharing that. Folks, is it safe to say the demographics of this particular program, of our broadcast, Take No Prisoners, is somewhat unusual among broadcasting? I mean, where else can you get a slice of life of scenarios as serious and as potentially tragic as what Tom called in about and what Brad has been brave enough to call in about? So I take your concern seriously. It opens up a whole host of questions in my mind, if I may, so let me use the remaining portion till the next break to address it. Number one, I don't think anybody should be doing any procedures like this unless they truly know what they're doing. And that's why last-minute education and these kinds of things can be very dangerous. People have to have confidence in who they are and what they're doing in order to be successful and know what they're doing. And only when they can answer the questions themselves are they truly ready to go into combat, so to speak. I realize that's not always possible, but it's the ideal situation and worth considering. Secondly, one wouldn't... you know, I haven't given you time to really discuss your whole case, and we are in the second half of the last hour, so we won't get that opportunity to discuss the fuller parameters of your case. But prior to any notice of rescission that I would ever consider issuing on an appearance bond or a PR bond or whatever it is that's allowing me to, or the house arrest agreement, whatever contract it is that I signed, I would want everything else in place working first. The very first thing I would do is I would be building up indemnity bonds. That's number one. That's not number 10 on the list. It's number one. I would be sending in indemnity bonds, if time permitted, every 35 days, if not every 4 days, to Treasury in amounts of $300 million in 30-year terms, and I would get that up in the billions very quickly. Secondly, I would decide as a matter of strategy who and what I am presenting off the top, and I wouldn't be rescinding anything until I already have my stipulated agreements with all the other parties. If I'm involved in a case or if I've already been convicted, then you can bet upon that conviction all liability has been transferred to the surety, to you, through the clerk of court, through that court. And hence, I would be dealing with the court. I probably wouldn't worry all that much about the initial contract with whatever agency or controversy this arose from. On the other hand, I might. It depends on the circumstances. If in doubt, I would take the agency and the agent into an administrative process, and that would involve a promissory note and a presentation method, probably stage one, option three, the comprehensive administrative remedy. And it sounds like you've been studying these methods, so you probably know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I would do a separate process for the court, the clerk, the judge, and anyone from pretrial services, which would be important. Any place that I have entered a contract, I would redraft that contract and zero the account. The promissory note would zero the account or actually put it into a positive credit balance. And the comprehensive administrative remedy would allow me to gain my default stipulations and attach them to a notary's certificate of non-performance or a notary certificate of non-payment or dishonor, whatever it may be. And I would tie all that up together, file it in the county, get back certified copies, and then I would go ahead probably and start a separate procedure with the sheriff or the city police or the marshals, or you mentioned you've been jumped around the country, so I presume the marshals, and bring them into the process, at which point I would be using a rescission process, of which we have one. I can't say it's proven out in 100 cases, but it's based upon sound technology and successes along the way. It's a very extensive one that we've gone into, and we're increasing the amount of effort we'll be going into at the next Law Merchant Conference, in which we're issuing, as part of a complete package, a notice of rescission on that contract and notice of the new surety. In other words, notice of the successor surety, attached to which I'm sure, whether it says it in there or not, I would include certified copies of all the previous notaries' judgments. So if I had a judgment with the court and I had a notary's decision, a binding administrative decision with pretrial services, and I had one with the agency, I'd put all those in as the objective United States acceptance and confession of the fact that these are now the surety parties. These have the suretyship responsibility. I'd attach them to the notice of successor surety, and I would put in a fresh bonded promissory note, ship all that off to the marshals. This is just the way that's coming to my mind now, and use that as the process to eliminate my involvement with the electronic arrest scenario. And in fact, I would let them know I have no objection to them forwarding that device to the new sureties on the case. That's the way I would approach it. In some cases, I might do an initial process with the marshals and then include that certificate of non-performance with the notice of suretyship back to the marshals, letting them know that the marshals, too, are a surety on the account. So it's a selective process of deciding who I want to include as fiduciaries on the instrument. Did you have another question, Brad?
Do indemnity bonds, can they just have our signature? Do they need another surety?
Well, we think they're more powerful with two more sureties on them. And there are sureties that are available. If you have a local group, great. Family can be sureties if they know what the responsibility is that they're taking on. Certainly, it's not an essential, but we believe it is more powerful. What if the surety should become disabled by any one of a number of means? Who would take over the responsibilities of being a surety or being the principal? And so you can have one principal and two sureties, or just the principal alone, or one principal and one surety. And if you send an email to takenoprisoners@hush.com, perhaps, or send an email to notarydepot@hush.com, it's possible that other attendees at the Law Merchant Conference might be open to introductions and willingness to act as sureties in other cases.
Okay.
Any other questions? I know I ran through that quickly, but it was pretty carefully laid out. Do you understand how I might approach
a case
like that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it does take some time, but if you had to, if I was pressed for time in a case, I could wrap the whole thing up in 20 days if I was doing it in two separate stages like that. 10 days on all the initial administrative remedies and another 10 days on the marshals. I might decide to delay returning the electronic collar until I receive... See, the rescission package is going to be presented by a notary, too.
Right.
I don't even remember what it is I wrote in there with a specificity, and it changes from moment to moment as my knowledge and circumstances and whims would dictate. So I might do a process like that, wait for the notary's certificate of non-performance on that process, and then I might send back, if it was me, send back my electronic collar with notice that I have no... reservations, and I will not object if they decide to reassign it to some other party, namely the surety that's mentioned on the form. But a notice of surety puts it right under their nose, and if it's presented by a notary with notice to them that if you fail to respond, you will be named as having accepted this and confessed to the suretyship, not you being the surety, but this party now being the new surety, or you could write the letter of presentment to them and the notary certificate to reflect that they, in fact, will be a liable party if they fail to provide a settlement statement on the promissory note. There's no limit to the ways that one can address this, but the bottom line is that there are other liable parties once I have paid the freight and satisfied all claims. Any other questions, Brad?
No, thank you very much, Sam.
Good luck to you, Brad. God bless. Well, folks, that brings us almost up to the break. Why don't we take another caller? Greg in Florida. Are you there, Greg?
I'm here.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. We got another brother on the phone, too, from, I believe, Chicago, Cletus.
Missouri. But Greg is the one with the question.
Okay.
What's your question, Greg?
Well, my question is, 2.5 years ago, my daughter was accidentally bit, and I'm in this big court battle now trying to get my kids back. And they don't want to give us our kids back. I wasn't here when the accident happened. And so where am I at right now is I received today an order granting, this is after I filed interrogatories on the sheriff and the main players in the court system. And they sent me an order granting motion to strike and for a protective order. And it says the instant case involves a dependency action. The father, Greg Pound, here and referred to as father, whom is represented by counsel. Now, what they did at our last hearing, they had everything set to terminate my rights. They've terminated my wife's rights because she's been hiding with our newborn baby now for over a year and 3 months. And then I caught wind of this program just before you, Ralph Winter Road. And on his program, he showed me how they had cooperative agreements and that there's not a separation between the judicial branch and the executive branch. And so I filed a motion based upon that. And I asked for an independent judge, which they, in the middle of the case, they stopped it. They replaced this my second judge with the third judge, an independent judge. But this independent judge is playing the same game that the rest of them are. I mean,
of course.
I mean, and so what happened?
So what specifically is your question, Greg?
My question is, okay, this order, for instance, okay, the
We're going to be out of time to answer. That's why I'm pushing you here.
Okay.
We've got 1 minute. We've got a few seconds to the break, and then we'll have 3 minutes.
Okay, do you want me to wait until after the break?
Well, ask me what you can.
Okay, well, what I simply need to do now is, what is this order granting motion to strike and protective order? It's the Sheriff's Department is asking, it says, whom it represents by counsel serving upon Pinellas County Sheriff's Department.
There's no way I can answer that question. I haven't the foggiest what the details of your case are. I'm not going to be able to provide you with enlightenment as to specifically what is happening.
Well, basically...
Let me say this, that you are, this is classic for many of the cases that people send me emails about. You're involved in a case in equity, and you're basically having other people who really don't know anything about your life deciding the most important decision as to who's going to raise your children. So, what I can do is, I can address that issue after we return from the break in the brief amount of time that's left.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
You'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you'd like to join us for the BIC conference in August, please send an email to Roberta T at hush.com. Greg, Got a couple of quick questions for you. Number one, are you familiar with commerce being used in this fashion at all?
No, I'm not.
You're not. And so you're not familiar with BIC?
Nope.
Have you listened to this program in the past at all?
I have, and it just from what the, I've been fighting with the court now for 2.5 years, and it's hard to make sense out of what's going on.
All right. Let me just tell you and the listeners that this is really a tragic situation. This is a fellow, Greg, I don't mean this to be judgmental of you whatsoever. This is not an uncommon situation for me to get a call or an email about. This is a fellow who, correct me if I'm wrong, at this point feels desperate, trying to protect his family, doesn't know what to do, and is grasping at straws. You'll look to one program, another program, an article in a paper, whatever you can find to help you. Is that about right?
Well, pretty much. That's the way it's been for 2.5 years, and I mean, it's by the grace of God. They've been trying to terminate my rights, and it's only but they haven't been able to do it. It hasn't happened yet, but they're still moving towards that process. But they had my kids now.
They're moving towards that process. Nobody can terminate a parent's rights and other than a jury under certain circumstances, but no one has the authority to tell you that you're not a parent. The problem here is commercial. The problem here extends from the fact that do you and your wife have a marriage license?
No.
You don't?
No.
Well, they're operating under the assumption that you do.
No, they know we don't have a marriage license.
They may know it, but they're operating under the assumption that you do and that they have jurisdiction over the marriage and the children therefrom. If this were a situation I were involved in, I would make it known very powerfully through commerce that, A, all of those contracts have been rescinded, B, all liabilities that those contracts have caused have been paid, and C, those children are my property, and I want my property back, and if I don't get it, there would be hell to pay commercially. And that's what commercial process is all about.
Okay.
But the problem is, if one doesn't have training and one is in the middle of a case like this, it is agonizing, not just for you, but for me. I love little children, especially since I've had grandchildren. I just can't seem to get enough of their little faces and the warmth and the lovingness that they provide to us. And it personally causes me great pain even to hear of a scenario like this.
Well, you just watch the website, freeourkids.com, and you'll see what's happening in Florida to our family.
The best that I can say to my listeners out there, thanks for joining us, Greg. The best that I can say for my listeners out there is that you don't want to get in a situation like this. You want to prepare yourself in advance. That means indemnity bonds in advance. So you're dealing with the charges when they come in. You're already set up to go. And also studying BIC, either through these programs, through a mentor, get yourself to a law merchant conference, move heaven and earth, but don't be caught in a position of having to beg in equity for what is your birthright. And that having said, I wish I could offer Greg some service on his behalf. It's impossible if he's not trained in commerce at this point, other than he takes the reins and learns, and we'll help him learn as quickly as possible what would have to be done in commerce to turn a situation like this around. Folks, thanks for joining me. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado,